Blog Talk Radio.
Praise. Thanking God today for another day. Oh my God, I'm just excited. It's not going to be the best day. It's going to be warm, but rainy is what the weatherman is saying. But you know what? It's all right because it's another day. Somebody didn't wake up this morning in their right mind. Somebody didn't wake up at all this morning. They're on the other side. So all we can say is, Lord God, I thank you that you gave me another opportunity for a do-over. Hallelujah. Thanking God for the do-over. I'd like to present to some and introduce to others, Mother Valerie. Mother Valerie, give a wave. The line will be open. Push that number one. You know, we are just so excited that Mother Valerie has been joining us. And tomorrow, I like to tell you, she's going solo. Hallelujah. I will not be able to be with you tomorrow morning. I will be doing my civic duty as an election judge. So I will be working the polls for my district on tomorrow. So I'm very excited. I love being an election judge. I feel that I'm doing my part for my community. I ran for election and won. I was appointed, and then I ran and won. So I was my little small part of my county's and township city chair, committee woman, and it was an enjoyable time. But I realized that running for election was not for me. So I did not run for a third term, but I appreciate being a part of the whole movement of government and local and state government. So I say to you, vote. If you do nothing else on tomorrow, go vote. Your city and county and school boards are probably the most important positions in the country, honestly. School boards determine what your children will learn in school. Park districts determine if parks will stay open or closed in certain areas of the community. Your mayor is so important. Who you put in that position determines your policing and fire and all those things that keep a city running. So make sure you go and do some research on the candidates for your alderman, your woman. You know, make sure you pick the best person for you. We have to do what's right. And I just say to you, let God lead you and vote. Vote and vote and vote. You know, don't just wait till president. Vote in your local elections because they have a whole lot of impact on your life. So that's my little small community service word for today. Mother Valerie, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Good morning. It's just a beautiful, beautiful day.
Why? It's the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. We are rejoicing and glad in it. Thank you, Lord.
We are.
That's
blessed.
How I feel. Just thank you, Lord. It's just, whew, I'm all filled up. I was able to go and see the seven stations of the cross, the seven last words, actually, of Christ. Edition, Women in White, and I tell you, whoo, it was a awesome, awesome program. It was an awesome program. These ladies, they really brought the word of God, and it was amazing. Each one
best
has a word. Pardon me?
Especially our pastor.
Oh, absolutely. Shout out to Pastor Jesse Herring, Table of Life Ministry. She is being asked to speak actually all over the city because she is she's a magnificent speaker who allows herself to be used by the Lord. And so all I can say is thanking God for awesome service yesterday. I am a tired mother, a tired pastor, a tired minister. I am wore out, but I got to go to work today. So my son called me. He said, are you working tonight? I said, I sure am working for Jesus. So it was a good day. But anyway, let us pray, and we're going to get into the word. Heavenly Father God, we are grateful, thankful, and blessed to be with you this morning, to be in your presence, God, to open your word and to let it come alive in our hearts, minds, and spirits. Father God, we thank you for another day. We thank you for the blessings that you have given us of life. Hallelujah. And breath in our body and a clear mind, God. We thank you. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who has risen. He is not in the grave, God. He has risen and he sits on your right hand interceding for us. And so it's in his name I ask you, Father God. Please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, God. For you are our strength and you are our redeemer. Lord God, I lift up Mother Valerie today as she goes forth, and I lift her up as she goes forth on tomorrow, God. I ask you to give her knowledge and strength and guide and lead her, God, to speak what you say speak and to keep whatever else behind her tongue. Just as you ask, as I ask you, Lord, take over. Whatever I shouldn't say, keep it behind my teeth, God. But there are words that should be spoken and words that are not. And so, Father God, I ask you to lead and guide us, that we speak what you say speak, and anything else we don't say. Because it is not about us. It is all about you. And, Lord, again, I lift up this mighty word and thank you for Dr. Charles Stanley, for giving him the insights and the life lessons for this Bible, God. I ask you, Father God, to bless him. Continue blessing him with long life. But Lord God, he is a true man of God, and I thank you for him and the use of this wonderful Bible. So, Father God, as we get forward, as we move forward, again, please increase as we decrease. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. You, O Lord, are our strength, and you are our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, Mother. I give it over to you as we go into Deuteronomy chapter 9. I can't believe it's the third day of April already. 15 days, folks, before taxes are due. Ooh, 15 days. You have to get your taxes done. So just to throwing it out there, community service announcement. Third is our day for today. And we will be in Deuteronomy chapter 29 through chapter 30, verse 20. We will be in the Psalms, which is Psalm 41 through 5, and Proverbs 13, 9 through 10, and Luke chapter 7. And, oh, I'm telling you, whew, we got some great word today. Great word today. So, Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. I was just thinking
good
about
morning,
the words
mother.
That Pastor Jeff was preaching yesterday. They had seven women to preach the seven words that Jesus spoke before he died. And she was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I said, oh, my Lord, only a God could say that. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And they're killing you, nailing you to the cross. And you asking God to forgive them? Only God could have done that. So I thank and praise God for who he is. I thank and praise God that the tomb was empty. I mean, this is Palm Sunday, and the 9th we will be celebrating the day that was set aside for Easter. I'm in Deuteronomy 29 and 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, you've seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not wore out on you. Your sandals have not wore out on your feet. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drinks, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. When you came to this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us to battle. And we conquered them. We took their land, gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, and its inheritance to the Gabalites and half tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant. Do them that you may prosper in all that you do. All of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders, your tribe, your elders, and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, also the strangers who's in the land, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I make this covenant and this oath not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today, before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nation which you passed by. You spoke of their abominations, their idols, which were among them, wood, stone, silver, and gold, so that there may not be among you men or women or family or tribe who heart turns away today from the Lord your God to go and serve the gods of those nations, and that they may not be among you a root-bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse, and he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. Lord would not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him. Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord would separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the coming generation of your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a foreign land, would say when they see the plague of that land and the sickness which the Lord has laid on it, whole land is brimstone, salt, and burning. It is not sown, nor does it bear, nor does any grass grow there, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath. All nations would say, how has the Lord done so to this land? What does the heat of this great anger mean? Then people would say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods, worshiped them, gods that they did not know, and that he had not given to them. The anger of the Lord was aroused against this land to bring on it every curse that is written in this book. The Lord uprooted them from their land in anger, in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belongs to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Life lesson. The Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, to this very day. What the Lord has not given to his people of Israel, he has given to the members of the church, to those in whom the Spirit of the Lord dwells. And that means that God have opened our eyes so that we can see, we can hear. But he didn't do it for them back in the Old Testament. And I thank God that he have opened our eyes. Thank you, Lord. The secret three things belong to the Lord our God. God will hold any piece of information from us. That is right. But he reveals everything we need to know in order for us to live holy and joy-filled lives. And God is good. So God is not going to reveal everything, but in due season we're going to know everything. But it's not time for us to just know everything. Verse number 30. Now as it come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God, obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart, with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you, and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. Isn't that amazing? God scattered his children, and they came back, I think, in 1948, the nation of Israel. It said God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you, and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the forest part under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you, multiply you more than your fathers, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all those curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecute you, and you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he has rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, for this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it or do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us, bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so you do not hear, drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You know what? God said you not to serve other gods. You shall surely perish because God is a jealous God. You should not prolong your days in the land when you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. He said, therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. All God wants you to do, just like if we have children of our own, you want them to obey. And God just wants us to obey. And when we obey his commandments, it's good for us. I mean, everything is good for us. I mean, it saves us from a whole lot of heartache. But God is a good God, and that's all he's asking, to believe, obey, to believe what he says, to obey his commandments. That's it. Okay, I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. I love that, Mother, to believe and to obey. That's what God is, that sums it up, what God is wanting from us, to believe and to obey. And I add one more to that, to trust him, to trust him. Mm-hmm. God wants us to trust him, to know that whatever he says he will do it. Wherever he asks us to go, all we have to do is follow. You know, God is a good God, and he loves us so much. You know, we look at evangelists because evangelists move. They go all over. They move sometimes from church to church, city to city, and folks are looking like, why are they moving all over the place? Because that's their calling. That's their gift. That's what they're supposed to do, to spread the word of God, because and to trust him. That is our word for today, to trust God. You know, as I was writing a synopsis for Facebook this morning, the word that God gave me was, you know, to remember when I was a child, the songs that the senior choir would sing, and they would sing, I will trust in the Lord. And you know, we're like, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. You know, you're like, oh wow. And now, and as a child, you don't understand what they were singing and why you would see some with tears coming out of their eyes as they're singing, I will trust in the Lord. And you see them crying and you're like, what are they crying for? And then you understand, amen, as you get older, the things that you go through in life, only thing you have is God. Only thing you have is knowing that God is going to bring that light back on and that it's going to stay on. You know, God is in charge of everything, and that we, as his sons and daughters, must trust in him. And I love this word that God gave me from our psalm this morning. This, blessed is that man that makes the Lord his trust. Blessed, amen, is that man that makes the Lord his trust. Well, I'm going to have to preach that, Mama. Amen. So as we get ready to go into our 40th psalm, it says this is the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit of the miry clay. Speak on that. Been in that darkness. I've been in that place. Undiagnosed depression. Been there. Wondering why, oh my God, what happened? It's like you wake up and you're like, who lives here? I don't know who this house belongs to. And you realize, oh wow, it's mine. And I have, oh my, where have I been asleep? Because you were so caught up in the things that you don't have. That thing that God decided to take because you had made it your God. You can't make people your God. Yes, we are to honor our parents. We are to honor our spouses. But we cannot make them our God.
Amen.
You can't do it. When you start doing more for everything and everybody, but you don't do anything for God. If they say, don't do this, and you know in your heart that I need to do this for God, and you don't do it, God will move some stuff. God will move some people when things are not done right and righteously. You know, God orders our steps. He establishes our steps. And I can say this. He will pick you up, dust you off, put that shower on you, clean you up, and say, now it's time to go to work. We ain't got time to be sick. We ain't got time to be looking into space. We ain't got time for foolishness. It's time to go to work. And so God will pick you up, you know, and get you all caught up. If you are a smoker and you're like, Lord, I don't want to smoke anymore. And when you finally put that last cigarette down and say no more, God will show you what to do. God will show you what to do to get out of the muck, to get out of the mire, to get out of clay, the miry clay. And set you upon a rock. Hallelujah. And I love what David said. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, established my steps. Hallelujah. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Hallelujah. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. I will trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord, not his mama, not his daddy, not his wife, not his husband, not his pastor, not the janitor down the street. Nobody can take the place of God. Not our children or our grandchildren who we love and who our children say we let get away with more than they should. Come on now. God wants us to know, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust. I trust you, Lord. And it says, and does not respect the proud, not such as turn aside to lies. Come on now. The Lord is speaking to us today. This is a today word. David don't even understand. He's speaking to us today. Many of oh, Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. Oh, Jesus, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than numbered. And I can say God has done so much for me. I could not number all the things he has done. All I can say is thank you. Oh, Jesus. Getting filled up, Mother. And it says in Psalm 40:1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Waiting is just a fact of life, this life lesson tells me. When it comes to our prayer lives, sometimes God answers prayers immediately, but other times he He makes us wait to see the answer.
Amen.
When we wait for him, we show that we trust him. You know, my church does not have musicians. Let me just put it, did not have musicians. I got to clarify, did not have musicians. For I've been there, I'm in my 12th year of membership. I joined January 1st. 2012, so I'm just 11 years. And I was like, wow, God, you know, we need a musician. I'm in my 12th year. I finished 11. I'm in my 12th year. And I thought, wow, God, this is, you know, we need musicians, Lord. We need musicians. And so about 7 years ago, I went on a fast. I thought it was just, you know, Lent and fast, I'm going to give up pork for Lent. And then it became a fast for a musician. And I have not eaten pork in about 7 years because I've been fasting for a musician. And, you know, I thought, and it doesn't dawn on you until you look up and you realize, I haven't had a pork chop in almost 7 years.
My Lord.
And now God is starting to answer the prayer. You know, we have a gentleman that's joined our church, and he plays drums and he plays, you know, guitar. And, you know, he's working on keyboard, you know, trying to get that skill back. But his daughter does play piano, and she's working on getting that skill back. And, you know, we have a gentleman that just started the church who also plays drums, and he does play keyboards and piano. And it's like, okay, God, you're starting to answer that prayer. But what if I had said, forget it. You know, I don't care. I want me a pork chop. I want me a ham and cheese sandwich. You know, that sandwich. I used to eat a grilled ham and cheese. That was my go-to sandwich for lunch. And then you say, okay, can't have that. Can't have a rib. You know, we all love some good old barbecue ribs, St. Louis style, you know, the good stuff. But then you realize that if you trust God, He may not answer your prayer right away. I'm still waiting, Mama. It's been 40 years, and I still haven't won the publisher's clearinghouse. I'm still waiting. I'm believing, you know. But the thing is that we trust God, that He will provide, that you don't have to worry about winning the publisher's clearinghouse because you got something bigger and better than that. You got God. You know, we have to understand that your prayers are not going to always be answered. And sometimes the answer is no. And you have to accept that, just like you accept all the yeses that God gives us. So just a life lesson, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust. Trust God today. And our word from our proverb is Proverbs chapter 13, verse 9 through 12. So join me in Proverbs chapter 13, verses 9 through 12. And it says, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out.
Amen.
And folks can think they are above the law. I can do whatever I want to because I'm a millionaire. I'm a trillionaire. I'm a this, I'm a that. Everybody has an accounting. You know, when we go to the Word of God and we think about Lazarus, not the one Jesus raised from the dead, but Lazarus, the rich man, who would walk every day past that poor man and would not offer him a scrap of bread. And then when he dies and he looks up and sees the poor man looking real good, real clean, healthy, I say rosy cheeks, feeling good in the bosom of Abraham. And he's looking up and he's seeing him looking healthy, not in rags, not a filthy, dirty mess crawling around trying to get the scraps. When the dogs feed you better than human beings, him and the dogs arguing over scraps, but the dogs giving the poor man food from the dogs. Come on now. You know, throw scraps. The dogs bring him the food because he's a mess. But you don't take the time to look and see, can you help him? And now you're dead. You're looking at him up in heaven in the bosom of Abraham and saying, can you give me something to drink? Can you go come back to life and tell my brothers not to act like this because they don't want to be down here in this torment?
Amen.
Understanding, no, he can't come and give you a drink of water. You can't get up there. You messed up. You were selfish. You were a liar.
Amen.
You were whatever. Understand, you can look up and see the people you mistreated. It's from the bosom of Abraham, from the feet of the Savior. And there's nothing you can do but look up and see that bridge that you can never cross. And God said we don't deal with mediums, right? So we can't go back to that person and say, their brothers and your sisters say, don't act like he did because, you know, he's in hell and we don't want to go to hell. Too late. You should have treated people right while you were on this earth. And the Lord has told us in his word, the light of the righteous rejoices, come on, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Pride comes nothing but strife. But with the well advised, we got to have wisdom. I'm saying to my
Amen.
Church family, don't follow after wickedness. Wrong is wrong. I don't care who does it. Wrong is wrong. And if you run it after the wicked, then you are not of God. If you have put the wicked on a pedestal, well, you know what, Mother Valerie? He's very handsome and he's very nice. And, you know, and he said that all we have to do is follow him. And, you know, he made this Kool-Aid that he said we got to give to our children. And, you know, he's my pastor. And I know we out here in the jungle. But, you know, if pastor says that I got to give them this Kool-Aid to drink, then I'm going to give them this Kool-Aid, and I'm going to drink it too, because pastor said so. Because those people coming to try to save us, they don't know. They're wicked, and pastor said so. I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid.
My God.
And what happened to all those people that followed after Jim Jones? Because they had put him on a pedestal like he was the Savior when he was wicked and he was evil.
Amen.
And all these people died and their children in the wilderness because they followed after a man.
Amen.
Are you going to follow somebody to death, follow somebody to prison because they say what they say and you know in your heart because God has given you a spirit of discernment to know they're lying. But because you don't want to believe you've been duped, you continue following a liar. Think of all those people. They could not escape. They could not leave. They were being shot down. They could not protect their children.
My God.
I got chills with that.
My Lord.
The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Jim Jones is not here anymore, is he? That wicked spirit of idolatry is there. We've got to pray and pray some more. When you have religious leaders praying for folks that they know have done wrong, it's like you know that they have done wrong. You know they are evil. You need to be praying for their soul to be saved. That's what you pray for. For salvation for that person.
Amen.
We got to be careful. And it says, where can I look for good advice? God often leads us to seek advice from others. When he does so, he wants us to check out the lifestyle of the person from whom we hope to receive counsel. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9 and 10, then we had better know where the person stands with the Lord. Praise the Lord, that's so true. Why should a believer go to a non-believer to get advice that would affect the rest of his life? Some may question such an approach, but I challenge you to consider the spiritual and moral track record of anyone from whom you obtain important advice or counsel, especially if the decision you make affects your entire family and future. And that is the truth. When you go to a non-Christian person to handle stuff, and you know good and well that they are not right, you can lose a lot. You got to ask God, Lord, show me somebody that knows you first, that loves you more than anything, loves you more than they love money. God will definitely show you. Don't go with prophet lying, because a prophet liar tell you not to do and then ask you for the money that you know you're supposed to use for something else. And God had told you to use it for something else. But the prophet liar said, no. Don't do that. Do this. And the next thing you know, you have made a mistake because you was listening to the wrong person. We got to be careful. Folks, pray for those that do not know. We got to ask God for discernment. He says, certainly unsaved people may have sound wisdom and good advice to offer, but a wise believer can add the crucial dimension of spiritual insight. Some counselors dispense unspiritual advice that leads to ruin and destruction. Yet, Proverbs 14 and 12 warns, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Come on now, you better preach that. Amen. Proverbs has a lot to say about the value of wise counsel. Proverbs 13 and 10 declares, by pride comes nothing but strife. The well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 15 and 22 proclaims, without counsel, plans go aweary. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And Proverbs 20 and 5 instructs us, counsel in the heart of man is like a deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. I remember when my grandfather, this is Charles Stanley speaking, a minister told me one day, Charles, whatever you do in life, always obey God fully. If he tells Amen. You to run your head through a brick wall, go forward, expecting him to make a hole. Hallelujah. I have never forgotten that advice, and it has remained a main girder of truth supporting my personal ministry over the last many decades. But it reminds me that the most important counsel we can ever get comes from the Lord himself. Regardless of the situation or circumstance, we should always go first to God for his counsel. Amen. We should tell our own souls what King Jehoshaphat told the king of Israel. Please inquire for the word of the Lord today. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 5. When we do so, we go to the wellspring of all wisdom. For we go to the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. Isaiah 28 and 29. Chapter 28, verse 29. Whew, hallelujah. We go to the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. We got to take it to the Lord. As they used to say, take it to the Lord in prayer. That should be your lament. Amen. Always. Whatever it is, Mother, I got to take it to the Lord in prayer. Before you do anything, take it to the Lord in prayer. I will pray my way to work some morning. Lord, I need some green lights. And honestly, God gives me green lights. And my grandson Amen. And I was together, I said, baby, we got to pray for some green lights. And we started praying for green lights. And when we would get a green light, I'd say, thank you, Jesus. And so he was with his dad one day, and a man told this story. And they were driving, and the lights were all just red. And he was in his car seat, and he said, Lord Jesus, we need some green lights. And the lights started turning green on him. And his dad was just like, listen, he said, the lights turned green. And he said, then I hear him say, thank you, Jesus. And he said, what? And I said, we pray to school. We pray for green lights. We just thank God for it when he gives them to us. And so that was a lesson for his father, that a child is praying. and he prays for his family. And I'm like, this baby just loves me. He was singing a song the other day on the way home from school, and he was thanking God. And he was singing, thank you, Lord God, for everything. Thank you, God, for
Amen.
Everything was the title of his song that he had made up. And he said, thank you for the trees. Thank you for the grass. Thank you for, and he was like, and then he said, Lord, I miss my mommy, because his parents were out of town. I miss my mommy. I miss my daddy, but I thank you for him. I was just scared. I was crying.
Amen.
So I'm like, listen to this baby. Thank you, God. You know, 5 years old, and he was thanking God with his whole little heart, thanking God for his mommy and daddy. He told God he missed them, and that
Amen.
He missed them, but he thanked God for him. I was like, Lord, you teaching me today. This baby is preaching back there and don't even know it. Oh, thank you, Lord. So as we go back into our word this morning, Luke chapter 7, it says, now when he concluded all his things in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him, earnestly saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. And now we think about, because we're told the story of Lazarus, and after he had been dead for so many days, Jesus came and he raised Lazarus from the dead and took off the bedcloth and all of that. But so many people forget this little small word of the widow and her son and how Jesus gave that widow what she needed, which was her son. Because once her son was dead, that widow had no one to support her, no one to help her. And this young man was raised from the dead. He was just asleep. And Jesus woke him up. Hallelujah. You know, and they said, well, he's a great prophet. And then it says, and then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? When the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? and that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, whew, hallelujah, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Hallelujah. When the messengers of John parted, he began to speak to the multitude concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gloriously apparelled and live in luxury are in king's court. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Hallelujah. His cousin. For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. They had not gone in to the water, so they weren't ready to accept the living water. Hallelujah. You know, I loved it yesterday. Pastor McCann of the AME Church preached on I Thirst, and she did a dance on Mary to Weep by Aretha Franklin. And then when she got there and she talked, she had a little cup that she picked up, and she talked about I Thirst. And then she talked about thirsting, but she said, and they offered him vinegar, gall. They offered him vinegar. She said, you thirst, but they offer you vinegar. She said, but we can thirst, and we need the living water. Ooh, that can come from Jesus. You know, so we should thirst for the living water that can come from the Savior. Not thirst for the liquid that I'm drinking right now, but thirst for living water. Hallelujah. I thirst. It's what Jesus said. But John told everyone, prepare you the way of the Lord. When I was in high school, my favorite musical was Godspell. Mm-hmm. Godspell so many times. And then when they finally made a movie, I was like so happy. You know, it was like I just was set in awe. And when, you know, these young people who look like me, who dress like me, because I was one of those hippy-dippy kids that liked to wear overalls with my hair in braids and, you know, always just, you know, looking at my little hair parted in the middle with a braid on each side, and I had long hair, you know, and I thought, you know, when I could finally try, I couldn't make an afro, I'm just being honest. My hair was too fine. You know, but I sure tried. I tried to have an afro. It didn't work. Let me just put it that way. It was not for me. But I tried anyway. Then I thought about the Jerry curl and realized my hair was already curlier than the Jerry curl was going to make it. But I still, you know, you're always trying to do something. You know, when I realized that if I wanted to have wavy curls, all I had to do was wet my hair and put on dippity-doo, and I was good to go. And you can't even find dippity-doo now. All they got is all these sticky gels that stick to your hair. And, yeah, no. But dippity-doo, I'm going to tell you, dippity-doo was the thing in my generation. I wish they still made it. And if they do, please let somebody tell me where I can get some dippity-doo. But I tell you, you know, that play and that musical, it did something, you know, the song Day by Day, Oh, dear Lord, these three things I pray, to love you more dearly, seek you more clearly. You know, we want to love God day by day. You know, that song was like my jam, and, you know, I was like, wow, God, thank you. You know, that song got more teenagers, that play probably got more teenagers saved than many sermons, because when you can see it and feel it and the people doing it look like you, you know, it was all young people that made this musical, and they looked like me, you know, and they were talking about loving God and seeking him and preparing the way for the Lord. And, you know, with this, you know, the soundtrack, you know, that just did something to your spirit. And you just could say, oh, wow. And it's like day by day by day, oh, dear Lord, three things I pray, to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day. To see thee, you know, that touches our, to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly. If we keep that in our spirit, what can we say? But thank you, God. And a life lesson is this. He cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. And to many blind, he gave sight. In prison, John had begun to doubt whether Jesus was the promised Messiah. In his grace, the Lord showed the discouraged John the truth in the number and variety of his miracles. Jesus was doing what no Old Testament prophet had ever done. Luke 7:30, the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves. It is possible to reject the will of God for your life. This will never happen accidentally, however, or take place despite your desires. If you want God's will for your life, you can have it, but you have to choose it. Are you choosing God today? Are you choosing him with those three things that you pray? To love him more dearly. To see him more clearly. To love him more dearly. To follow him more nearly. Day by day. Are you keeping that in your spirit? And our prayer this morning, before we get out, a word from Sister Carolyn, and then our prayer, and then it's a wrap. And Sister Carolyn tells us this morning, right on point, don't confuse your mistake for your value as a person. Y'all better stop. But put your trust in God. He doesn't make mistakes. Have a motivated Monday. Sister Carolyn, all up in the lesson this morning. She didn't understand what we were talking about, trusting God.
Amen.
But yet, that's what she said. Put your trust in God. He doesn't make mistakes. All in the word this morning. Thank God for Sister Carolyn. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust. Put your trust in God. And I just have one last prayer, but I pray for those that leave. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that when you put your trust in the Lord, everything else falls into place. As Sister Carolyn so eloquently put it this morning, don't confuse your mistakes for your value as a person. Put your trust in God. He doesn't make mistakes. Have a motivated Monday, and know you are perfect. Ask for God. His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Psalm 18:30, King James Version. It says, Lord, you are more than I can try to describe. When I feel the lack in my life, I remember the fullness of who you are, the perfection of your ways. Your love draws me in. It doesn't push me away with intimidation tactics. You know that it is kindness that draws people. Of course you know that. You designed us to be like you. You cover me as I trust in you. You hear me in, behind, and before, keeping me from stumbling. Your word is alive, breathing courage and passion into the most destitute souls. Who can describe your goodness? Who can recount the ways you have faithfully saved your people? You are constantly reaching out, not withholding any good thing that would benefit your children. You pour out your love so we can drink deeply and become just like you. I ask for fresh revelation of your greatness today. Lord, shine your light in a way I haven't seen before. And our word for today is, what are the best attributes you have seen God exhibit in your life? And I say again, you are perfect. As for God, his ways is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Trust in the Lord today with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Join us tomorrow as Mother Valerie goes forth in the word of God. I'm excited. I will be listening in. I will be working, but I will be listening in. And I know that God will have a word from you for you from this woman of God. Thank you, Mother. I appreciate you. Thank you, everybody, for listening in this morning. And remember, blessed is that man that makes the Lord his trust. Have a great day. It's a wrap, Mother. I got to go to work.
It's a wrap.
I love you all. Be blessed.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.